The CRA is trying to take your money.
Look, I get it. The Toronto real estate market is confusing. Whether you're a new or experienced investor or just looking for a home to raise your family in, join us at Broadview Table Talks as you sit around the table with my friends and talk about the real estate and the ever-changing market in Toronto.
The CRA is trying to take your money if you're a landlord.
And what's this tax called?
Underused housing tax. So who this applies to? It applies to people that hold residential property. So that's 3 units or less. Vacation properties don't count and primary residents don't count. They're exempt. But if you hold residential property and it's held under either a corporation or you're a foreign national, like a non-citizen or non-PR permanent residence, and you don't file by October 31st, then you could be liable and you'd be charged up to minimum fine of $10,000 as a corporation and $5,000 minimum fine as an individual. So I get the tax. I get the idea of it. Mm-hmm. The idea is that they want to make real estate for people and not used, not vacant.
They want to maximize usage.
Yeah, we have a housing shortage at the end of the day, right? Yeah. So there's a lot of people that, in theory, that they think, or the media thinks, that we're buying up all these properties, hoarding the supply, and just keeping it vacant because they don't want tenants. They don't want to deal with tenants because they have so much money, they don't want to deal with it.
Right.
What in the right mind is that actually true? Okay, so they did an estimate. I think somebody did an estimate. It was like 30,000 units that it's going to unlock. Whatever. We need 500,000. We have 1 million people coming to Canada. There's 2.5 people per household coming to Canada. That's like 400,000 units, right? Just some rough math, back to neck and math. We're building 250,000. Not completions, but there's 250,000 housing starts per year on average.
And we don't know if they're going to finish.
Yeah, we don't know what the completions are. Actually, I should know the completion number, but it's called 250,000 completions as well. So that means we're underserved by 150,000 or so. 30,000, like a one-time thing, is not going to make a dent. We need, like, I think it was 2.5 million for the next decade.
1.5 million.
1.5 million homes. Yeah. That's Ontario.
Ontario only.
Like Canada wide.
Not Canada.
I think it's like 3.5 million or something.
Yeah.
It's insane. And this is not going to make a difference. What the CRA is trying to do is they're trying to take your money, because if you're a foreigner, right, you don't know these tax laws. Even most accountants don't know these tax laws.
Yeah.
Right. I love my accountant. He's amazing. He's really smart, but he didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't fault him for it. And there's a few others that don't know about it either.
Right. And it's been around since January 1st of this year.
2022.
Yeah.
So they announced it, and I think they did it on purpose. They try to trick you. If you're in Toronto or in Vancouver, there's a vacant home tax, so VHT.
Yep.
In Toronto, it's 1% of the assessed value, and everybody has to file it. Everybody has to put a declaration in, no matter what.
Yep.
Whereas in Canada, for federal, the CRA, it's you either have to be an affected owner or you're an excluded owner, one of the two, which is ridiculous in my opinion, because everyone else, excluded owners, don't have to file. So what does that even mean? You know, it's so silly. It's the silliest thing. I don't know. I just wish they didn't do this. And okay, fine. If you don't have to file and you're late for filing it, okay, whatever, right? Maybe they'll assess the value and then you get to dispute it.
Yeah.
But what they do here is if you're late for it, they'll give you a penalty and they might potentially assess you for actually leaving it vacant.
Yeah. It's a minimum fine.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a minimum fine for $5,000 for individuals.
Yeah, let me explain it again. So if you have a corporation, you have a holding company, and many people have holding companies, and you put your property that's a triplex, duplex, even a single family home, a condo even, just a condo unit.
Yeah.
If you don't file this form, you're going to get charged minimum $10,000 by November 1st. Okay, I get the government's behind the money. I get they need money. I get it. I get the Liberal government. But this, even the carbon tax is a scam. Don't even get me started on that, right? Why are we getting taxed when the rest of the world, China can pollute whatever they want. All these other rest of the countries can pollute whatever they want. But Canadians, we have a tax, a mandatory tax on gas, on fuel, on everything.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I don't know. I don't get what this government is doing. I really don't. I'm trying to get political. Let's
stick to real estate.
Stick to real estate. File the UHT. Hopefully this gets to you in time. And if not, you can file for a exemption maybe or some sort of thing for the penalty. But it's a first year that they've levied it. And going forward at the end of April, April 30th of every year, we have to file this. It's just that this year they gave us, because of the first time they introduced the tax, they gave us a one-time exemption till October 31st as the late filing penalty deadline. And you know what? I guess since we're on this topic anyway, many people think that landlords hoard supply. And like, I've been trying to understand this for a very long time and I still cannot understand it. Maybe you can help me understand it, Michael, because you're a very empathetic person.
Okay.
And I just don't understand it. So a lot of tenants think that landlords shouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And landlords are sucking the productive juice out of somebody's working job. So because they, from a tenant's perspective, they're paying rent to somebody, a landlord. Mm-hmm. And this provides nothing for them, right? They're working hard. They have income. This is why I'm confused too.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
You understand because you own real estate, but just try to put your mind in the perspective of a tenant that knows nothing about real estate.
Okay.
Okay. So they work a job. Let's say they make $2,000 a year, a month, let's just say, $3,000 a month.
Right.
And let's say half of that goes to rent, $1,500, let's just say, or $1,000, a third. Actually, yeah, it's a third. Mm-hmm. So they make $3,000 a month. $1,000 goes to their rent. Mm-hmm. They're thinking, why am I spending this $1,000 just for a place to live? See the conundrum here? Okay, so if we get it from the real estate landlord's perspective or owner's perspective, or even just a normal, sane human being. You get that because somebody's providing that housing and that housing doesn't come for free.
I think they're upset because they're thinking, okay, I'm spending a significant portion of my income to pay rent and I'm stuck in this rent trap because I'm not able to save for a down payment. I feel like I will never be a future owner. So why am I paying for someone else's mortgage when I want to be paying my own?
Right. So that's where these tenants call landlords leeches. These landlords call the tenants parasites.
Right.
Or the way around. Parasites and leeches.
So but ultimately
tenants are peaches and landlords are parasites.
That's right. But ultimately the issue is the barrier to entry to own real estate in Toronto is significantly higher than what your average median income is.
I agree.
So the only, you're blaming the wrong person. You shouldn't be blaming the landlord who's constantly putting money into housing stock. You should be blaming the people who are making it more expensive to actually buy housing or to create housing stock.
Which is everybody, including the government. There's so many different hands in a development.
Exactly.
Whether it's not even just, when I say the government, I'm talking about municipal, provincial, and federal. All different layers.
Yes.
Have their hand in a pocket of a developer or somebody creating housing, which is silly. Now there's things that are happening that are making it better, like eliminating the GST on rental supply.
Yep.
Right.
Reducing levies, reducing fines, making it easier for people to increase the number of units that you have per plot of land.
Right. And even the municipal, the Toronto might be giving, affordable housing grants and things like that, just giving more density for housing. I mean, that's not official there, but there's also CMHC that gives you favorable financing for creating affordable housing, what they deem affordable. Ultimately, everybody's hands in there. And, not to mention increase of inflation of cost of goods and labor and transportation. Carbon tax is another one to truck all the stuff here.
Yeah.
Cost money. So all that stuff, of course, things are going to cost money. Okay, anyway, back to that story. I think we're talking to the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the educated people. They don't have no education. They just think that landlords are leeches. Fine. No diss to them, but it makes no sense. There's another layer above it that think that landlords shouldn't exist. And because they exist, we're hoarding supply. And that supply could have gone to lower the price. Like we've basically run up the price because of landlords. And if landlords didn't exist, houses would be affordable for the everyday person to actually own. That's like another level of stupidity. I'm going to say stupidity because they're stupid. But it's a layer of stupidity in my mind too. To me, it boggles my mind.
So I think that layer of people could have been addressed by corporate landlords rather than your conventional private landlord that we see in Toronto. But the incentives for corporate landlords have been eroded away for so many years that there are just no new apartment buildings. Nobody wants to invest in it.
Corporate landlords are not a bad thing. I'll give you a little secret.
That's the thing. Corporate landlords are not a bad thing.
That's you know what the thing is to tell these people, and actually, CBC is going to be putting a segment on this because I tell them this. But the largest real estate holdings in Canada is guess who?
Corporate. BlackRock.
Well, no.
What?
CPP. Canadian Pension Plan. So every single Canadian is a part of this institution that owns real estate.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
And they're required to actually funnel money into this program.
Because it's part of our pensions that feed like the elderly, that pay the elderly, which eventually you will buy into. So part of your salary, if you claim your income and you're not in the black market and dealing drugs or whatever.
Or self-employed.
If you pay taxes, a portion of that goes towards this institutional fund, which has to give a return to pay the elderly that aren't working and that are retired, to pay them an income based on your productive capacity. This is why we have so much immigration, by the way. But anyway, let me get to this later. So this little institution owns real estate. Now, if you look at their website, it says it's all office, industrial, whatever, all commercial real estate. And a small part of it is student housing. Mm. But they are invested in other funds that invest into real estate.
Residential real estate.
Which people are stupid. People are so stupid. Okay, so let's talk.
They want someone to blame.
Well, okay, so that second layer of stupid, saying that landlords hoard supply, I get what they're saying. And what they're truly saying is what we are currently living in today, which is called late stage capital. Mm-hmm. So capitalism is kind of unfair because it creates a big wealth gap between the rich and poor, have and have nots.
Yeah.
Because when you have, it'll be easier for you to have more. It just spirals, right? And just kind of deviates so much. And this is what taxes are for. And this is what a lot of rich people don't like Canada, because of the taxes, they kind of bring you back down. So everyone's kind of a level playing field.
Yes.
If you make more money, you get taxed more. If you don't have enough money, you give social support to be able to bring you back up.
Right.
It's a good thing. Don't get me wrong. It's a good thing. I don't like the taxes, fine, but there's ways around it. It's just like, not like legally around it. Like there's ways that, anyway, whatever. So the point is that what was the point? What am I saying?
UHT. And you're angry.
Well, I already got past UHT. I mean, the CRA needs money at the end of the day, and they're just trying to scam everybody, So I'm going to boil down UHT to a simple thing. They're just trying to create all this confusion, and they're going to penalize you for being confused. Mm-hmm. And who are they going to penalize? The easy targets? Landlords, because they think we have money, and foreign owners, because they don't live here. So screw them. Anyway.
To free up a very small amount of housing stock.
That's not the reason why. They need revenue.
They need revenue, but they're doing it under the guise of freeing up housing stock, which I don't think it's going to do much.
For sure. Okay, back to landlords and tenants. That's what I was talking about. The second layer of stupidity about saying how landlords hoard supply so that those tenants could have been homeowners. That's the stupidest thing ever, because some people choose to be tenants. I mean, not everybody chooses. Nobody wants to be a tenant. Of course, they want to own if they possible. Mm. But if given the choice, some people... So here's a perfect example. If you're sitting on, let's call it $10 million, okay? Mm-hmm. Just in cash, and many people are. Mm-hmm. If you're on $10 million cash and you're making 5% a year on that's $500,000 in passive income you get. Pre-tax income, for sure. Mm-hmm. So you get taxed on it. So maybe you get like, you know, $250,000 or whatever.
Right.
But even if it's, call it $50,000, that's what, $40,000 a month? Plus or minus before taxes.
Right.
What if you take that money and you don't touch the $10 million, you keep it in a fund, you earn your 5%, and you just take the revenue from that and you rent a place for $3,500.
You don't have to pay for a down payment. You don't have to pay for...
You keep your capital. You preserve your capital.
And
you live forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's an option.
Yeah.
And if rentals don't exist, no good rental stock exists, they may not rent.
Yeah.
They may not be allowed to rent, even though they want to rent. Mm-hmm. Because the other way to do it is you take that $10 million and you say you put $2 million or even $3 million and you buy a place, and all of a sudden you're left with $7 or $8 million, which will bring you less monthly revenue because it's less.
A lot less. Yeah.
Right? So that's one example. Maybe the numbers are a little bit different. Maybe instead of saying $10 million, I could say $5 million or whatever, $2 million or say whatever, right? So that's one example. And then maybe some people that choose to relocate because they're only here for a year or two and they don't want to buy. And the cost of, you know, getting into an investment, getting out of an investment is expensive, right? By the time when you're getting out, you're paying for realtor commissions. Yeah. When you're getting in, you're paying for land transfers. Yeah. You're paying for, you know, a mortgage, you know, broker fee, for example, even sometimes. Appraisal costs and all those adjustments and stuff like that. It doesn't make it feasible to own something for only a year or two.
Well, let's talk about the biggest demographic that's recently moved into the city that had to rent. Recent graduates.
Okay. Yeah. New students.
New
students, recent
graduates. Right. That is one of the biggest segments of Toronto's population that has to rent. They just graduated. They don't know where they're going.
Or even here for school.
They're here for school.
From 2 to 4 years and they're out maybe.
They don't know where they're going to be in 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And they need that flexibility.
And it could be people that are just upsizing for 1+10 or 1 bedroom and they need a 2 bedroom because they have a kid on the way, a new kid.
Yeah.
And they're not ready to buy yet.
No.
Right. And so there's so many scenarios where you need to rent or you want to rent.
Yeah.
And if landlords didn't exist, Who would provide that housing stock? It's not the Canadian government, right? So I just saw something from Trudeau, who said that he wants to tax or punish people that are hoarding. I forgot the exact quote, but something with punishing landlords or something. Mm-hmm. And it was silly because, like, if they're not creating the housing stock, if private landlords aren't creating housing stock.
Or even maintaining it, by the way.
Right. So the government's not going to do it. And guess what? If the government owns real estate, they're not going to maintain it. Well, they're not gonna, they probably will. Our Canadian government will do a good job at it. I mean, I guess if you look at some of the Toronto community housing properties,
yeah, they're not really fairly well maintained.
They're not,
yeah.
They're okay, but they're still like...
They're pretty nice.
And if
they're
if
clean.
You, right. And if yeah. you leave it to a private, I mean, a public entity mm-hmm. that don't specialize in this stuff, mm-hmm. don't specialize in maintaining and not profit driven, it's going to turn to like one of those like Eastern Bloc buildings,
yeah.
ghettos.
Right.
It will. It will turn to that. Like it'll just be ghetto. No one wants to live there. It's full of crime. And it's just like, no, it's nasty. So public housing does not make sense. And I'll tell you even more story. Oh my God, this pisses me off so much. So for those of you guys who don't know, and I can tell it now, I used to own a building in Kensington Market that I flipped with some partners, right? Some investors. And it just so happened that it was one of the YouTubers I follow. He talks about urban planning stuff. And it was part of his video to say that, could this be the new way of housing ownership? Mm-hmm. And the new way was a community land trust. So basically what that is the residents in this one community in Kensington Market mm-hmm. got together, they got some money together, they got funding, and they bought the property off of us mm-hmm. to prevent future development. That's the theory of it. Mm-hmm. But there's so many things wrong with it. It was a good video and it got like 100,000 views or more and a lot of likes and a lot of love. And I get it. If you're just, you know, have no hopes of ownership and you're renting forever, mm-hmm. I get it. I get why you'd want it. Because you want to stay in that community and keep your rentals low, right? I guess yeah. it makes sense.
You want to have some control over your owner, your home.
Right. Where yeah. you live and you've lived for 20 years or whatever, it's 15 years, however long you live there.
Right.
But there's a lot of things that are wrong with it, in my opinion.
And what's right? that?
Well, first of all, by preventing development, you're not creating new supply.
No.
So what does that do when you have, when you pummel more people into the country and there's more demand for that supply and there's only 19 units there?
Well, your right? area is not going to grow.
Well,
first of all, because
the average rent is going to get that far further away than what right. they're paying.
Right.
So the 19 people that actually it was 12 people that are living there because it was commercial units, mm-hmm. but the 12 residential people that are living there, mm-hmm. their rent is like stuck effectively forever. So mm-hmm. they effectively won a lottery ticket because they're not, their rent will never increase yeah. or not increase by more than CPI, what the Ontario government deems as CPI for rent.
Yeah.
Right. But how's that help the new people coming in?
Well, they've essentially become the de facto landlords that they were against initially.
Right. And so that's my second thing wrong with it. They become landlords with limited revenue. And that building, trust me, I know that building. It needs a lot of work. It needs plumbing. Yeah. It needs electrical. It needs structure. It needs insulation. It needs, well, windows we did. Maybe potentially a new roof.
Yeah.
More security.
Do they not have a
maintenance cleaning
reserve fund?
What reserve fund? They bought it for... Okay, their rental, basically their rental rate is locked in.
Yeah.
And what we sold it for, I think it was like a four cap,
yeah.
I think it was. So if you guys don't know what that means, you can look it up. But anyway, their revenue coming in was just barely enough to do maintenance. So there's a lot of past deferred maintenance, stuff that needed to be done and stuff that will need to be done. Major improvements that aren't budgeted in the CapEx as part of the 4%. Like it is budgeted, but it's very minor. Yeah, so... they're going to be running with a very, very, very tight budget. And if there's anything catastrophic, they're screwed.
Well, all the units will have to pitch in.
They're not going to pitch in. They couldn't. Some of the rents was like $400 a month. Like one of the rents was $400 a month. Some of them were $800.
Yikes.
It's not going to happen. So this is the stupidest thing ever. And guess what? You know who paid for that? So we bought it for a certain amount. Like the money doesn't matter. I'll tell you the numbers, but it doesn't really matter. We bought it for $3.1 million, put $500,000 in, sold it for $6.25 million. Okay, but that $6.25 million that they bought off us for was comprised of $3 million from Section 37 money. So if you've ever bought a condo, right, you pay Section 30, you pay closing levies and all that stuff.
Yeah,
that money goes into a pool that the Toronto government has, the Toronto whatever. So they use that for improving community benefits and parks and all that stuff, right?
Right.
They used $3 million of that to buy this building off of us. That went straight to our pockets as right. profit. Okay. Then on top of that, they raised some money. It was like $50,000 or something like that from the community. Great, whatever.
Right.
They have a $250,000 vendor take back from us because they couldn't close with the money. It was shortfall, so fine. So they owe some money still.
Right.
They'll pay it back. It is cash flow positive if you don't maintain the place.
Right.
And then so
obviously anything can be cash flow positive if you don't maintain it though.
Right.
That's such a precarious situation.
Right. And the rest of it comes from rental revenue, right? So fine, whatever. But that $3 million came from the taxpayers. And it's the silliest thing ever. So
just for those 12 people to lock in their rent.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And for the theory of community housing, it makes no sense to me. It makes zero sense. It makes zero sense.
That's what, $4.5 million per person just to lock in their rent?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sorry.
$3.5 million.
$3.5 million.
Well, actually, it was $6.25 million. But anyway, like, however they got their funding was $6.25 million.
Ouch.
It's all broken down in that video. But
wow, I feel badly for the community.
Well, no, now they're all celebrating it because this is the model that we got rid of the bad landlord, the bad developer. No one's going to develop on our property ever again. And we're safe from rent increases. We're safe.
Yeah, just those 12 people.
Well, if you're outside looking in, if you're in the community and you're looking at them, you're like, oh, wow, that's great. I would love to live there too. And they maybe have their own cheap housing somewhere as well, mm-hmm. too, right? But in the long run, it just doesn't make sense because they don't get to partake in that cheap housing.
That's right.
Right? Versus if we create enough supply, in theory, also the other supply, I mean, the other theory doesn't work either, right? Where you have to create, 3.5 million homes in the next 10 years to make it affordable or whatever. And what define affordable, first of all.
Yeah.
Is it a percentage of the current incomes now? Is it what it was 10 years ago? What's affordable mean?
Yeah.
Okay, so how the city of Toronto does it and how Canada does it is based on the average income. It's a certain percentage of the average income. So right now, I think one bedrooms are $1,400 or something like that.
Right.
Or $1,200, something, whatever. It's published. If you look at CMHC, it gives you a guideline. And Toronto also has a affordable housing, what affordable housing means. And they actually match up.
Yeah.
So where was I going with this? How do you create supply? I mean, how do you create make it affordable? You create enough supply so that supply and demand factors kind of counterbalance each other. And there's enough supply for people to choose from, tenants to choose from. Mm-hmm. And because there's so much supply, you can only ask so much. You have to be competitive. Your market rates will drop.
Yeah.
That's what the theory is. But in practice, it's going to be goddamn impossible.
Yeah.
To create this amount of supply.
Well, the reason the market equilibrium is only in a perfect world without government interference.
Right.
So any economic theory.
Well, government interference, if they create supply somehow, if the policies were supply friendly as opposed to demand restrictive, then potentially, right?
Potentially. But we're talking about, like, you know, in the ideal world, in a capitalist society, without any government interference to actually achieve market equilibrium from demand and supply market mechanisms.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, if you look back in the 70s when there was so much purpose-built rentals, if you look at the purpose-built rental stock, and a purpose-built rental basically is an apartment building where it's mm-hmm. only rentals and you can't actually own there. Mm-hmm. That's what a purpose-built rental is. And if you look at that stock, the majority of them are back from the 70s.
Yeah.
Because there was incentives there.
The last time there were incentives.
And then they got rid of them. And then from the 80s onwards, 90s onwards, it was all individual investors like you and I that own individual properties. And we became the mom and pop landlords.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, individual greed takes in and it just pushed the market up. So I get that part of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, becomes financialized is the word. So that happened. So then 2018, Doug Ford got rid of the rent controls for new buildings.
Yeah. Anything after November 15, 2018.
Right. Yeah. So that started incentivizing people to actually buy and potentially not so much buy, but more build.
Invest and actually have more starts. Yeah.
Right. So that's why you'll see the new buildings that are all rental buildings, for example, and there are newer. So it's coming back. And then now with the GST removal, it will help as well too, because GST is 5%. Mm-hmm. And if the province matches it, it becomes 13% right away. And a developer's margin in a typical condo is around anywhere from 10 to 15%, right? Yeah. So if you're looking at 13%, that's like, you're basically doubling your profit, which is a huge incentive to build.
Of course.
Right? Because they make millions, you know, even though 10 to 15% sounds like it's a little bit for the amount of risk.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of risk.
It's in the millions. It's a lot of risk, but it's a lot.
Because of scale, right?
Yeah.
So if they're doing this will create a lot more purpose-built rental. And I think it's a good thing for the economy.
Absolutely.
For the supply and demand imbalance, mm-hmm. I guess. And let's see where it goes with it.
Yeah.
So
feel better?
I feel better if people understand and they're not being level one or level two stupid or even level three stupid. And then they're kind of like baseline. They understand that more supply is a good thing. Landlords help balance out the rental prices. Oh, you know what I saw? I've been meaning to research this too. In Ireland, I think they made it, I'm pretty sure it's Ireland. They made some sort of controls where they taxed landlords heavily. So a lot of landlords left the business en masse, if you call it a business, mm-hmm. they left en masse. And if you look at some of the images or some of the videos, you'll see as soon as a vacancy comes up, you'll see a landlord lineup around the block just to view the place. Check it out. I'm telling you, just like maybe it's like TikTok information that I got it from or whatever, YouTube shorts.
Right.
But like, seriously, I really want to dive into this and figure out what happens if you eliminate landlords from the equation.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. Right?
Of course, yeah. We would love to have a utopian society where housing is free for everyone and you know, like it'll be great. And you don't have to worry about that because it's a big part of my income, my household budget. Mm-hmm. Right. But like the reality of it, it's not going to happen unless we go to a communist society, Marxist society or something, right? Where they provide housing for you, which in the real world is not going to happen.
No.
Not going to happen.
Not when we're all fighting for food or income or shelter.
Or the CRA is trying to take money out of your pocket. Anyway, signing off. No more politics, I swear. Let's talk strictly about real estate. If you want to learn more, follow. And I don't know, reach out to us if you have any questions. You can always book an appointment and just chat with us if you want to learn the real insights, I guess.
Opinions
into the real estate market. Yeah. Thanks for watching.
Add it up. Thanks for sticking out to the very end. I hope you got some value out of this. Do me a favor, please press like and subscribe. But more than anything, leave me some feedback so we know what to produce for you going forward. Thanks again.